Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The Shah of Iran arrived in New York last night from his exile in Mexico and was taken immediately to New York Hospital Cornell Medical Center. The hospital reports that the deposed monarch is in serious condition, although it does not specify what he's suffering from. A spokesman for the Shah says he will undergo extensive medical examinations. The Shah was reportedly accompanied on the flight from Mexico by Empress Farah. Moshe Dayan's resignation as foreign minister of Israel formally went into effect today, and Dayan marked the occasion with a news conference reported by Dan Raviv.
In this farewell news conference, Dayan the private citizen said little that Dayan the foreign minister would not have said. Prime Minister Begin's government, he felt, will stick to its principles, but will not take a harder line in the talks on Palestinian autonomy. Dayan reaffirmed that he could not go on when he was not in charge of the autonomy talks with Egypt and did not agree with all of Israel's positions.
Being a foreign minister in the government means that you have to express and to carry out the policy of the government. And if you cannot do it wholeheartedly, it's your duty to submit your resignation. That's what I did.
Dayan said he could not reveal exactly how his view of autonomy differed with Prime Minister Begin's. But Dayan said Israel should encourage the Palestinians who live in the occupied territories to run their own affairs without regard to the PLO. As for the future of Moshe Dayan, he says he'll remain in the parliament but won't join any political party and does not expect ever again to hold a cabinet post. Dan Raviv for CBS News, Jerusalem.
The Prime Minister of Japan is having difficulties of his own, and Bruce Dunning in Tokyo tells us about them.
Japan's newly elected parliament will convene just a week from today for what would normally be the routine re-election of the Prime Minister. But Prime Minister Ohira is in trouble. His hopes for being re-elected are in the hands of two men, both of them former prime ministers whom Ohira himself helped push from power in his own drive for the prime ministership. It's no secret that both men are savoring the sweet taste of revenge, or at least the sweet taste of worrying Ohira. The trouble started when the ruling party unexpectedly failed to win an absolute majority in elections 2 weeks ago. Ohira, as prime minister and party president, is getting the blame for the party's poor showing. Both former prime ministers, Miki and Fukuda, are still powerful party leaders. They insist that Ohira do what he forced them to do, resign. Ohira refuses. And so Japan's ruling party is trapped in frantic maneuvering that can only be described as a whirlwind stalemate. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Tokyo.
A special task force appointed by President Carter is outlining plans for the relief of famine conditions in Cambodia. The task force consists of Assistant Secretary of State Richard Holbrook and Senators James Sasser of Tennessee, Max Baucus of Montana, and John Danforth of Missouri. They envision an overland supply project on two highways running from Thailand to Phnom Penh, the Cambodian capital. They say they already have Vietnamese support, and tomorrow they'll fly from Bangkok to Phnom Penh to discuss their plan with the Cambodian government. The Presidential Commission that investigated the Three Mile Island nuclear accident has completed its report, and Diane Sawyer in Washington tells us about it.
The president's commissioners say their report will raise a red flag about the safety of nuclear power, but it will not recommend a freeze on the construction of new plants, nor on the licensing of those plants already under construction. Commission sources say both those measures failed when only 6 votes out of a total of 12 could be mustered in their favor. 7 votes were required to officially adopt a recommendation. Commission Chairman John Kemeny reportedly voted in favor of the moratorium on new construction, but abstained on the issue of licenses to operate. Even so, the Commission report is expected to be hard-hitting, with recommendations that include dismantling the present Nuclear Regulatory Commission and reforming it into an agency, with a director and an oversight board focused on safety, periodic relicensing of nuclear power plants, stringent new requirements for operator testing and training, no siting of nuclear plants near major population zones. The commissioners are scheduled to present their report to the president on October 30th. They hope, one source said, it will force Mr. Carter to lead a sober national debate about the potential hazards of nuclear power and whether nuclear power is worth the risk. Diane Sawyer, CBS News, Washington.
At Three Mile Island, the cleanup is underway, and we'll get the latest on that from Gary Shepard.
The cleanup began late yesterday when nuclear technicians turned on Epicor 2, a $5 million device which they claim removes 99% of the contamination from radioactive water. The plan was to pump 400,000 gallons of contaminated water through the system to clean it, in much the same way a water softening system works in the home. But a spokesman for Metropolitan Edison Company, which operates Three Mile Island, says an airlock has developed in the water feed line, which carries the radioactive water from holding tanks into Epicor 2. The air bubble is preventing the water from moving, and nuclear technicians have been working since yesterday trying to solve the problem. One of the difficulties is that the feed line runs underground, and it was not tested before the cleanup began because it was already filled with contaminated water. Officials here say they hope to figure out a way to break up the air bubble later today so the cleanup can resume. Gary Shepard, CBS News, Three Mile Island.
Senator Edward Kennedy made a political appearance last night in Philadelphia on behalf of Democratic mayoral candidate William Green. But as we hear from Phil Jones, it was obvious that the senator also had another candidacy in mind.
Kennedy's rhetoric in Philadelphia was a clear signal that he has decided to intensify his attack on President Carter's leadership. Kennedy mentioned leaders and leadership some 17 times in his speech, but Mr. Carter's name was never mentioned specifically.
What we need today is the same quality of leadership we have always had at our greatest moments in the past. We want action, not excuses. We want leadership that inspires the people, not leadership that abdicates its responsibilities or blames the people for malaise.
Kennedy also told those attending a rally in South Philadelphia last night that he may be back soon campaigning for another person looking for a job. That person, obviously, presidential candidate Kennedy. And the timing will probably be around April 22nd and the Pennsylvania presidential primary. Bill Jones, CBS News, Philadelphia.
President Carter yesterday again appealed for a tax on the so-called windfall profits of oil companies, and he complained that while the companies already are making lots of money, they want still more. Mr. Carter expressed special annoyance at Exxon, which yesterday reported that its profits in the third quarter of 1979 were 118% higher than in the same period a year ago. That brought a response from Exxon's senior vice president, Jack Bennett.
I'm not embarrassed because I know we've been moderate. We've held down prices here far beyond the requirements of the president's guideline program. And our shareholders have not been getting a decent return. The fellow who invested in my company 10 years ago or 5 years ago is getting back less in real terms after correction for inflation than he put in. No, I'm not embarrassed. I think you have to give a better return than they've been receiving to people to invest in getting the energy for the future.
Bennett was interviewed on the CBS News broadcast Tuesday morning. More than 3,000 employees of Wayne County, Michigan, didn't get paid last week, and Don Webster reports from Detroit that today the County Board of Commissioners takes the next painful step.
Commissioners of the nation's third largest county meet today and are faced with the unpleasant chore of laying off thousands of employees. The county is broke and unable to meet its current payroll. The county jail, county morgue, and a portion of the county hospital will remain open, but many other county services will cease. In past years, the state of Michigan has bailed out Wayne County at the last minute by allowing it to borrow money from private sources. This year, state officials want a major reorganization of the county to get its financial house in order. That could happen, but could take months. Also today, a court will hear a lawsuit by the Municipal Employees Union, which wants the county to spend its last few dollars to pay employees at least something. Don Webster, CBS News, Detroit.
The six-week-old strike by public school teachers in San Francisco may be coming to an end. After bargaining steadily since Sunday evening, the Board of Education last night reached tentative agreement on a new contract, and the rank-and-file plan to vote on it this morning. The U.S. dollar is doing well overseas today, and the price of gold is down. It was fixed in London this morning at $387.60 an ounce. It's trading at about the same level in Zurich.